If you have a Bible today, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 53. As Marcia said so well earlier, this kicks off Passion Week, the week when Jesus began his progression to the cross of Calvary. This coming Friday, next Sunday, is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. We challenge you to be here and be thinking about who you're going to invite to come with you. But today is a very important day, and today we focus on that. And I genuinely believe God is going to do something very special among us in the next few moments. How many of you believe that today? I just want you to increase your expectation right now that we don't have to leave like we walked in. We don't have to leave with the same limitations in our understanding that we came in with. We don't have to leave with the same bondages we walked in with. We don't have to leave with the same sicknesses and ailments and pains in our body that we walked in here tonight. I thought somebody would start getting happy about that. We don't have to walk out bound by the same sins that once held us bound. Whether you're in addiction today or habitual mistakes, let me tell you, there's power in the cross of Jesus Christ to break that in your life. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And so we are a people who are love struck. We've been impacted by the love of Jesus Christ. And what we must be careful about is as time progresses that we do not forget what Jesus has accomplished for us. Somebody say, I will not forget. Jesus said it like this when he taught them to take communion. He said, do this to remember me. He said, don't forget what I'm about to do for you. Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to begin in verse 4. And here's what it says. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. He was love struck. Verse 5. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement or the punishment for my peace was upon him. Are you seeing a cadence there? Are you seeing a pattern there? Are you? And by his stripes, we are healed. He took the pain and we got the benefits. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. The Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity, the sin, the trespasses of all of us. Verse 8. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. He didn't do it for his own sin. He did it for our sin. Somebody say, God is love. Look at your neighbor and tell him today, God is love. Love himself, wrapped himself in flesh, left heaven, came to this earth. Lived 33 and a half years walking the dusty paths of this planet, and he lived a sinless life for you and me. But there, on this coming Friday, they tied love to a post and they whipped him with a whip within an inch of his life. Love carried an old rugged cross through the streets and outside of the town. And there on a hill just outside of Jerusalem, they nailed love to a cross. One devastating, skin-ripping, sinew-splitting, muscle-tearing blow after another, love himself was struck for you and me. Aren't you thankful today that you didn't have to be the one on the cross? That's enough right there to make you shout. Thank God for what Jesus did in our place. There the Lamb of God, the love of God, took away the sin of the world. Jesus carried the sins of humanity upon himself. And this morning I want to preach a message entitled, The Great Exchange. Let's pray. Father, in the next few moments, I ask that you would saturate my words with your anointing. I pray that the words I speak would be spirit and life. I pray that they would be like a fire in our hearts and in our bones. I pray for revelation knowledge to flow freely. I pray for every hindrance. I pray for every distraction. I pray for interruption to be stopped. In the name of Jesus, I pray this day that every stronghold come down and that we would know the truth and the truth would make us more free than we ever have been. Lord, release your power as we honor the sacrifice of your son. And we give you thanks again. We've already seen the power of the blood to transform hearts today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, let's give him praise on credit for what he's about to do. The great exchange, we see that Jesus went to Calvary 700 years before it took place. The prophet Isaiah penned the words precisely of what would happen to the Messiah on Calvary's cross. That he went there for us and he took our sins so that we could have his life. And so today I need you to know that Jesus took away my sin. He took away the sins of the world there at Calvary where they were nailed to the cross very simply so that I could become righteous. Somebody say righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, very powerful and important verse, says this: For he, or the Father, made him, or made Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. He was tempted like us, yet he never sinned. For he, the Father, made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. Jesus became my sin. Where did that happen? Not while he was living and walking the paths of this planet, but there on the cross of Calvary. For he, the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for me. Not for him. He didn't need it. Here's why. That we, somebody say that's me. Somebody say that's me. That we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hear this. Jesus became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. God is holy. The angels cry, holy, 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 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. They're crying out the holiness of God. They're declaring the righteousness of God. They're declaring the integrity and the justice and the purity of God. God is holy. Somebody say God is holy. But the Bible says that Jesus became our sin at Calvary that we might become the righteousness, the absolute purity, the absolute holiness of God in him. We receive that through Christ Jesus. Now, righteousness very simply means right standing with God. Let's read that together on the count of three. One, two, three. Righteousness is right standing with God. Let's read it one more time. Righteousness is right standing with God. How many of you know that's a good thing today? I don't want to be on God's bad side. Because of my sin, the wrath of God abided upon me. He's a holy God. Sin separated me from him. But righteousness is right standing with God. And righteousness is the condition of being in right relationship with God. And here's what we need to know today. You can never work your way into right standing with God. Nothing you could do could ever earn you a spot to be in right standing with God. If it did, then this week isn't necessary and Jesus didn't need to come. Nothing I could ever do, no matter how much I tried, no matter how hard I worked at it, I could never earn my way into a place with God, into God's favor, into God's grace, into a place of right standing and right relationship with him. Religion teaches man to this day that that can be done, and we watch them as they labor so hard and so pitifully, working to gain God's approval, paying the price for something that's already been paid for. Religion says to man that you can earn your way into God's grace, that you can earn your way into God's favor, but religion is nothing more than man trying to work his way to God. But Christianity is different. Christianity is when God came to man through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I couldn't get to God, Steve, God came to me. When I was still a sinner, Jesus showed me how much he loved me by dying on the cross. He loved me before I loved him. Can you say amen today? Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give him glory. That religious spirit, not a righteous spirit, a religious spirit leads to frustration. It leads to anger. It leads to fear in our lives. It leads to a life of constant disappointment because no matter how hard we try, it's never good enough. We always fall short. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Isaiah 64:6 says that my righteousness, my best deed, on their best day are nothing more than filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God in Christ. And yet we still keep trying to do our laundry, as Brother Joe says. We still keep trying to wash the stains out of our dirty rags, out of our righteousness through works, instead of understanding that Jesus did everything that needed to be done for us. And so you must understand today then that no person can ever be saved if they're trusting in their own righteousness. You hear people say, when you ask, well, are you a Christian? They say, well, I'm a good person. Well, that doesn't matter. Good person comes second. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Because he is good. And when his goodness lives in me, then I am good. Can you say amen today? See, we think that doing right makes us right. And that's the same mistake the religious elite of Jesus' day made. Religion says if you can clean up your actions, your heart will become clean too. But Jesus taught the exact opposite. He said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of extortion and self-indulgence." Verse 26. "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." Jesus said it's what happens on the inside first that makes what happens on the outside acceptable. Let me try that again. It's what happens on the inside and comes from the heart first that makes what we do on the outside, what we say on the outside, acceptable before God. It's only a changed heart that can change our actions. The heart of the human issue is the issue of the human heart. But when I'm born again and I call on the name of Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as some of you did today, and I believe in what God did for me, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that old things pass away and everything becomes new. God starts in my heart. I become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 10:10 says, "With the heart one believes unto righteousness." It's believing in my heart. It's faith in my heart that puts me in right standing with God. And that verse proves that righteousness begins in your heart. Changed lives begin with changed hearts. So if you're struggling in some area of your life today, you've got to look on the inside of your heart and awaken to what God has done for you. Actions do not change our hearts. Right relationship with God produces right actions for God, not the other way around. Righteousness means right standing with God. Holiness is right living for God. I cannot be holy until I understand I'm righteous. Otherwise, I'm a hypocrite just putting on a show. You can wash a pig and pull him out of the mud and paint him up and shoot him with some perfume and put a bow tie on him and sit him in your living room with the remote control. But can I tell you, he's still a pig. No matter what you do to the inside, it's never going to change the fact he's got the DNA of a pig. Can I tell you that we were like dogs who went back to our vomit and went back to the sins of our past. But when Jesus Christ came on the inside of me, I became a new creature in him. I've been crucified with Christ. The old me is dead. I'm a new person. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." When we wake up, somebody look at your neighbor and tell them, wake up. When we wake up to the fact that we're righteous, we're in right standing with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed, and by faith in that, we will stop sinning. This is the key right here, church. If you got a sin issue in your life, can I tell you, it's not a sin issue, it's a righteousness issue. You're living beneath the standard God has set for you. You're settling for less than God's best. You are a child of God. He seated you in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You have an inheritance today. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Don't you dare settle and sell short for a lie of Satan. You don't have to live in sin anymore. Jesus has broke the power of sin. The root of my faith in Christ is right standing with God. The fruit of my Christianity is right living for God. Too much of the time we put too much emphasis on what we see on the outside. Some of you may have come up in churches that try to legislate morality. You cannot legislate morality. No matter how many rules you make, people are going to break them. You might have come up in a family that was very critical. You cannot make people holy by telling them what they can and can't do. That was fun. Let me try that again. You cannot make people holy by telling them what they can and can't do. Let me tell you what does make people holy. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. You cannot tell people to live right. It's got to come from their heart. And even if they did live right and it didn't come from their heart, it's not acceptable before God. It's got to be prompted by what's on the inside. Next, righteousness is a gift. Somebody say righteousness is a gift. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 declares, for if by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned through the one. When Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, it opened the door for Satan's curse to take over, and it affected every part of our lives, our families, our finances, our health, our minds, our emotions. It destroyed everything. It ruined everything. But the Bible says much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the same way, sin has marred humanity and we all feel its effects. He says every person who believes and receives Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through the grace of God, that the force called righteousness will be given to them as a gift. And it will have such influence over you that it will reverse everything Satan used and sin used and sickness used to mar the image of God in you, to turn it around. There is a force at work in your life today much greater than any sin you could ever face. Can you say amen this morning? Righteousness is a gift that cannot be earned. It can only be received with gratitude. So the question is, how then do I become righteous? In Romans chapter 10 verse 10 explains it so clearly and so simply. It says, for with the heart, somebody say heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. See, this is why the gospel is good news. When I believe in Jesus Christ and his sinless sacrifice at Calvary is a substitute in my place for my sin, when I believe that God raised him again from the dead on the third day, when I believe in what he accomplished for me, then his righteousness, the righteousness of God, gets credited to our account. Imagine tomorrow if you woke up and there were $5 billion in your bank account. Can I tell you, you'd be happy, especially when you called the bank and they said, nope, no mistake, that's right. Anybody be happy about that? This is what happens when we believe in Jesus. We don't get what we deserve. We get what he deserves. We aren't punished for our sin. We are rewarded for his obedience. I'm not righteous because of what I've done. I'm righteous because I have faith in what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary for me. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24 and 5 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth or sent as a propitiation by his blood through faith. Somebody say propitiation. Now that's a big theological word, but let me break it down in layman's terms. It very simply means the appeasement of wrath by a sacrifice. The wrath of God abided on me because of my sin, but Jesus stepped in the gap and he took the hit for us. Hallelujah. There was a sacrifice that was made that wiped away the anger of God against the unrighteousness of man. And nothing you do could ever make you acceptable or worthy to God. It's only the blood of Jesus that makes you acceptable to God. And now, through the blood he shed at Calvary, the vilest of sinners, at the instant they're born again, has access with confidence to the throne room of God. Through the blood of Jesus, the worst sinner has every right to stand before God as if sin had never even existed in his life. The person who is born again at that instant has the same amount of right standing with God as the saint who's lived 90 years for God all their life. Can I tell you today, there is nothing that can wash away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can make me brand new and break the chains off of me. Now I can walk in and be with him and walk with him hand in hand and talk with him face to face because of the blood of Jesus. The blood gives me the right to be in the presence of God just as much as Jesus. Let me try it on this side. I have as much right to be in his presence, Matt, as Jesus himself. Here's why, because he's the only reason I get to come in there anyway. There's a funny little scripture in 1 John 4:17, and it says something like this: as he is, so are we in this world. As he is right now, so are we in this world right now. Can I tell you, he is righteous right now. That means you are righteous right now. Can I tell you, he is blameless right now. That means you are blameless right now. Can I tell you, he is pure right now. That means you are pure right now. He is holy right now. That means you are holy right now. I stand in the presence of Jesus, holy and blameless and without a single fault. The Bible says in Proverbs 23, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And if you think you're a sinner, you're going to live like a sinner. But when you realize, church, you are the righteousness of God in Christ, then you walk this earth like Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. You walk in authority. You walk in boldness. You walk in power. The Bible says the prayers of a righteous man and woman availeth much, and they have great effect. Hallelujah. God is able in your life when you understand I am the righteousness of God in Christ. See, sin, when you're constantly focused on sin instead of righteousness, it causes us to withdraw in fear, but righteousness causes me to be bold and draw near. Righteousness gives me the ability to stand in the presence of God as if sin had never been in my life. It gives me the ability to stand in the presence of God without any guilt or shame or condemnation. And some of you need to hear that today and need to know who you are, because every time you come before God, you go through this pathetic, I'm unworthy thing. That was gone the moment you bowed your knee at Calvary. You are worthy today. You are worthy today. You are worthy today, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Somebody ought to thank God for that. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 is one of my favorites. It says, For by grace, you and I have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing I can brag about. There is nothing about what he did that has to do with what I could do for him. It is the gift of God. Righteousness gives me the right to be in the presence of God. Righteousness is like a passport that's been stamped by the blood of Jesus. And I want you to hear me say this today. It's time for you to stop living your life full of fear and condemnation and frustration and anger because you feel like you never measure up, you can never be good enough. Stop trying to earn your righteousness through obedience. The Bible says, no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law. Hear this today. Righteousness is the root. Holiness is the fruit. I don't obey him to be right with him. I obey him because I'm right with him. Do you see how we got the cart before the horse? I don't obey him to please him. I obey him because he is pleased with me. He said to Jesus, before he ever launched out into his ministry, before he ever performed his miracles, when he was baptized at the Jordan River by his cousin John the Baptist, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Then Jesus went and started his ministry. I bet a whole lot more of us would be in ministry. I bet a whole lot more of us would be working miracles. I bet a whole lot more of us would be doing the greater things Jesus told us we would do if we just knew today without a shadow of a doubt, our Father in heaven is well pleased with us. His stamp of approval is on your life. You need to look no farther than the seal of his Holy Spirit in your heart. We think things like this. We think, well, I can't ask God for that. I sinned last Tuesday. I can't pray for that person at work because I sinned in the last 24 hours and we're still doing penance. We're still punishing ourselves for things that Jesus was punished for at Calvary. Can I tell you, the cross was done so well that he only had to do it once. Stop punishing yourself. Some of you here today are still carrying the weight of guilt from sins in your past. Can I tell you right now, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. God doesn't see you that way, Satan does. Stop giving condemnation the microphone. Stop giving accusation the microphone. When Jesus hung at Calvary, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say it's incomplete. He didn't say my work needs improvement. He didn't say to come and add to what I've done. He said, "It is finished." Salvation and miracles don't happen because of what we can do for him. They happen because of what he did for us. Take a look at this passage with me. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul says, "Let me," he's talking to a church, and I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to us today. He said, "Let me ask you one question." He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses?" Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believe the message you heard about Christ. He said, "How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" He said, "I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It's because you believe the message you heard about Christ. No matter who you are today, no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, no matter what your need is today, God's not going to meet your need because you can do something for him. He's going to meet your need today because of what Jesus did for you 2,000 years ago at Calvary. And because you believe, that's enough." Satan's convinced us that we can't be blessed and we can't be healed and we can't walk in victory and we can't enjoy God's overflow in his life. We can't live in his presence. We're not good enough. We haven't done enough. We couldn't have earned it by this time. His blessing is not for sale. When I believe in what Jesus did for me, listen to this. The reward Jesus earned for living a perfect life gets credited to me. I didn't get what I deserve. I got what Jesus deserved. The blessing that belonged to Jesus gets transferred to me. That's what you call grace. Somebody say grace. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's best belongs to me, not because of what I've done, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. God wants to answer your prayers because of what Jesus has done. I don't obey God to be blessed. I obey God because I'm blessed. It's no wonder we're confused and we're frustrated and we're like a termite in a yo-yo. We're still trying to get something Jesus already gave us. But I come to declare over you today that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We're not trying to get it. You already got it. Stand to your feet with me, would you? The ushers are making their way forward and they're going to begin distributing the elements for communion. Guys, you can go on and come to the front of these aisles and begin serving. And here's what I want you to know. It's all about Jesus. Somebody look at your neighbor and tell them it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You got to get your eyes on him and get your eyes off of you. I said, you got to get your eyes on him and off of you. He is perfect. We are imperfect. My imperfection is eclipsed by his perfection. Turn your eyes to Jesus today. We're going to sing this song, and let me explain something about singing, especially for you men. When you sing in church, we're not just singing a song. We're not singing to our neighbor. We're not singing to hear ourselves. We're singing to him. And that song becomes a prayer. That song becomes a gift. That song is what I lay at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you for what you've done for me. That's what we want to do as we sing this today. There's a holder under your seat when you're finished taking communion for you to set your communion cup in that rack so that you can lift your hands freely and not think about it. And when you're ready, while we're singing this song, as you take time to worship the Lord on your own, I want you to go ahead and receive that bread. The bread represents his body that was broken for you. And the cup represents his blood that was shed for you. And as you receive it, I believe that we're going to see miracles take place in this room. I believe people who are sick are going to be healed. I believe people who are depressed will have that cloud lifted off of their life, and the sun is going to shine on you again. I believe people who are addicted today to whatever it might be, that addiction is going to be broken today because you awake to righteousness and understand who you are. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the body of Jesus. And as we receive right now, while we sing to you, we do this to remember you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen.